And I'm not trying to delve into whether or not you're giving into temptation to worry, but how many of you have something going on right now? If you're not careful, you can worry about it. I'm not saying you are. You put your hands down. I'm reminding you folks, and Miss Carmen just reminded us through that song, we don't know about tomorrow, but I do know who's already there. And I don't know what test results you'll get back or what you don't even know is going on, but you're going to find out. But I do know who knows. I'm reminded of one fella came into a church and he was introduced to the pastor and he says, oh, you're the guy that knows what all is going on. He said, no, but I know that fella. And we don't know what all is going on, but I do know the one, the dear Lord Jesus, who knows what's going on. And I'm challenging you this morning when there's things going on that you don't understand and you can't comprehend and you don't even want to think about. We don't know about tomorrow, but we do know who holds our hand, and the Lord knows. Thank you so much for thinking with us about that and that good song. Well, it's a joy to be here this morning, and I'm thankful to be in God's house, and many of you got to hear Brother Joe Arthur preach such wonderful messages last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I know all of you couldn't make it because of schedule and whatnot, but I challenge you to go back and listen to some of those messages online. They're all archived, and Brother McGee's got all those up and ready, and so I challenge you to go back and listen to some of those, watch some of those. It was a wonderful, wonderful meeting of the Lord, and I'm so thankful that he saw fit to send Brother Joe our way. And I believe you'll be encouraged. I believe you'll be motivated. I believe you'll be comforted. And remind us that we are on the winning side, as the song goes, when you hear messages like we preached last week. But here you are back to normal. It's me. So, like it or not, this is the way it goes. After a good meeting, somebody's got to come in and fill in the gap. So here I am, and we'll pray and be dismissed. No, not quite, but we'll... I want to give you something that the Lord, I believe, will be pleased to have us dwell on for a little bit this morning. Somebody asked me back there, said, you going to preach for an hour like Joe Arthur? I said, no, I'll probably preach about 20 minutes like I normally do. So if you were expecting an hour, you're welcome. If you weren't expecting an hour, well, you're welcome too. So I want you to look in your Bibles, if you would, at Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. We're going to read a familiar passage. I've preached several times from around in here, and I trust that this message will be a blessing to you. Though while you're finding your place in Genesis, first book of the Bible, easy to find, I did hear this story about a couple of old guys. One of them was out on a bicycle. He was trying to get exercise. He was trying to stay fit. You know, they say if you ever want to keep doing, if you want to be able to do something, then you need to keep doing it. So that do it all the way along. And so this fella, older, but he thought, I can ride the bike. And so he got up, he was riding around his little town, and but he's about wore out. He's just really was taking a lot more out of him than he thought it was going to, and so he was just tuckered out. Well, he pulled up, he was by the stoplight, and he stopped, and there a buddy of his was in a car there, and he said, Frank, man, I'm glad to see you. He said, I'm about wore out. He said, do you mind if I just kind of tag along with you? He said, I got this rope in a backpack. I might tie it onto your bumper, and I'll just pull behind you. He said, well, that's all right, but how would I know if you need anything? I would not want to drag you down or anything. He said, that's all right. He said, I got this bicycle horn. I'll just honk it. He said, I'll just honk it when I need something, and then you can stop, and then when I get to the house, you can just let me off. He said, well, okay. And so he tied along that bumper, and so he got going through the street. It was all worked out fine. When he come to a stoplight, he just put his brakes on his bicycle and stopped before the car did and all that. He was doing along just great, heading out of town, going toward his house, and what he didn't realize, though, he pulled up the next stoplight, and the buddy Frank that he was tied onto his bumper, there were some teenagers in the next lane over. He said, hey, old man, you want to see if we can race? And he said, I don't want to do that. He said, boys, I'm fine. He said, oh, come on, you chicken, old man. Finally, they taunted him into racing. Forgot all about his buddy back there in the back. And so that light turned green, and they just took off. Blew through the next red light and just kept on going out of town and going faster and faster and faster. Well, finally they got about the edge of town or further out, and there was an overpass, and there was some police officers up there with radar guns, and they're radioing into dispatch because they were just checking for speeders, but they saw this old guy Frank with his buddy on the back and with the rope, and then this teenage car full of teenagers. They were racing out through there, and so the guys with the radar gun radioed into dispatch and said, you're not going to believe this. Said, what's going on? He said, these two cars, looks like a car of teenagers, then an old man's racing down the freeway here as they're getting out of town. And they said, well, that's bad, but what's so strange about it? He said, well, the strangest thing is there's a senior citizen on a bike behind one of the cars honking to try to get the right of way. So Be careful who you tie your whose bumper you tie to, I guess, is the moral of that story. So the Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, we're looking at Genesis 12, and we see Abraham here. The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and our nation should still remember that. Curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's God's covenant with Abraham. Look at all the things that God says he'll do. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And so when all that's given, verse number 4, our last verse we'll read, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So I want to preach a message entitled, as it says there in verse number 4, the Lord had spoken, so Abram departed. I just swapped those two out. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken, or I'll call it this morning, the Lord had spoken, so Abraham departed. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, give us in these next few moments a chance to just look into your word, and better yet, dear Lord, let your word get into us. I pray that when we leave, we'll be more inclined to trust you, walk by faith, live for you, dear Lord, and go and do what thou would have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Some years ago, Amy and I were going somewhere, and we were sitting on an airplane and going to our destination, which I don't remember, but I got talking to this guy that was next to us, and he was telling about what he had done to his family, and at his family, they'd woke up, he had told all of them to get ready. He had this trip planned. And the first part of this trip was to get on the airplane. And so he'd had tickets bought, and he told him to get your license, get all that stuff so we have the ID and everything. And he said, get everything planned and ready, and or you don't get planned, you just get ready. He said, I've got the whole trip planned. They were going for a few days somewhere. And I thought about that, and as I was sometime in the future after that, I was reading this passage about Abraham and how he was getting out, leaving Ur of the Chaldees, how he's getting out of there, going to a land that he didn't know about. And I thought about that family that was going to a somewhere destination that they didn't know about, but the dad did, and they were going to that destination with only the information that the dad saw fit to give them. And so he said, bring this, don't bring that. Dress like this, don't dress like that. Make sure you have this, you won't need that. And he gave them the information that he wanted them to have, and he said, let's go. And they got in the car, went to the airport, got on the airplane, and then by that time they figured out the destination. But we find this story where Abraham is told he's going to have to leave his country, and God doesn't yet tell him where he's going. And can you imagine Abraham as he's loading everything up and as he's talking here and God saying in him, verse number 1, get thee out of thy country and from thy family, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. Can you imagine the conversations that were had with Abraham? Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. Well, what are you packing that U-Haul up for? Well, I'm going somewhere. Nowadays, we have to tell the U-Haul or the Ryder Company or the Hertz Company, whichever one it is, we have to tell them our destination so they pack up the miles. Back then, the U-Haul dealers were a little bit more lenient. They didn't make you find that information out back then. They said, where are you going to? We don't know. So Abraham's packing up his stuff. Abraham, where are you heading? I don't know. How are you going to know how to get there? I don't know. How are you going to know when you arrive? I don't know. All God told me to do is get out. And so we see Abraham goes on by faith, and as he leaves, all he has is the word of God that says to do something. And my friend, I'm convinced in the fact that the Lord seemed to lead me to preach this message this morning, that there are some folks in this room that we already have some marching orders from the Lord of something we're supposed to do in our life, our family, our business, or wherever it is. You'll have to let the Holy Spirit of God fill in the blanks because I certainly don't know. But there's a lot of us that need to get up and move, and I don't mean change our address. But there's a lot of us that need to get up and move out on whatever the Lord has led us to do, And we need to have that faith like Abraham and just do it because the Lord has told us. What do we have to do to be this person of faith? Don't you love some of those old stories about preachers and good church members that lived by faith for years and years and did the Lord's work and did the Lord's will? I think about somebody who maybe had been in leadership at a church or maybe had taught Sunday school class or helped with the young people for decades. And you look at that person, you say, what a person of faith. We know faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's just trusting God when we can't see how we can trust Him. As Miss Carmen sang a little bit ago, we don't know about tomorrow, but we know who holds our hand, and we by faith trust the Lord. And I'm looking at some folks that have been in this race for a long time, and we can look at you and say, thank God for your faithfulness. Really, what faithfulness is, you trusting God over a long period of time to keep on doing what He told you to do. You had the faith to believe Him, and faith turns into faithfulness. And I think about this, how do we get to be that person of faith? Well, remember this, on the other side of that, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you can walk right, act right, talk right, do right, go the right place, do all those things. But if you don't have faith in God, the Bible says it's not hard to please God. It's impossible. So we realize that just because we get all gussied up and come on to church and we get here and we sit and everybody else says, wow, look at him or look at her. But God might be looking at us saying, yes, but they're not trusting me by faith, because we could be doing what everybody in the crowd thinks I'm doing, should do, but I'm not doing what the Lord says I should do. And they call me faithful, but God calls me a lack of faith. And so we understand that without faith, it's impossible to please him. So let me give you a couple ingredients from this passage that I believe would help us to do like Abraham, to get on in faith. Number one, we've got to be listening. Look at verse number one, if you would. We've got to be listening. The Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, or Abraham, the Lord had said unto Abram. The first dynamic in this story is that the Lord tells him to do something. And if the Lord tells us to do something, guess what we have to be willing to do? Listen. I read some years ago about Robert Moffat. He was a Scottish missionary to South Africa. And he was called upon to come back and preach a missions message to a group at a church. When he got there, it was a rather blistery night. It wasn't very pleasant. And he was so disappointed. There was only a small group that had gathered. And in this small group that had gathered, he realized after he got partway through it that they were all ladies. And of course, not that that was wrong, but his text was this, Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 4, unto you, O men, I call. He was going to preach this message about the need in Africa. He was going to preach this message for men to rise up and lead their families and the mission charge to take the gospel where the gospel was not. And Robert Moffat thought it was a mighty disappointing night, because not only was he not seeing anybody that would rise up and go to the mission field, it was all the ladies' mission society. It was the ladies that were getting together. And he thought, how could they rise up and go into missions with their wife, or with their husband rather, and their children there in need of them? But what Robert Moffat didn't realize was that the pastor, whoever had employed the pastor, had a young man there to work the bellows of the organ. Back in those days, not an electric one or electric generator, there was the bellows of that big organ had to be operated, and this young man came there and he heard every word that missionary had said. And when Robert Moffat thought it was a great disappointment and a great failure for his meeting to come as he preached unto thee, O men, I call, that young man heard every word, and that young man went to college and went to medical school and got a degree in medicine and spent his life ministering in Africa himself. And that young man that was working the bellows of that organ that evening was David Livingston, who was a great, if you study missions, was a great missionary pioneer. But he was listening. And And how do we get an Abraham that leaves his own country? How do we get an Abraham that goes out of all that he knows? And how do we get an Abraham that leaves his kindred and his family? How do we get somebody who steps out of the norm? Well, the first ingredient we have to have is a listening ear. We see he was a listening ear. It's like this. If you had children, you've got children in here, and maybe they're grown by now, in the middle of the night, and one of them's rustling around, they start crying or start to making some noise. There's a whole lot of difference between this side of the bed and this side of the bed. This side of the bed has got the man on, this side's got the lady on. This side of the bed says he doesn't hear anything. He might hear more than he lets on, but he's not going to let you know that. This side of the bed doesn't hear anything. This side of the bed is the one that's on point and is going to go fix things. This side of the bed is the one when he does hear something, here's how it happens. He's laying there and he hears somebody crying or at least moaning around. He reaches over and shakes the person on that side of the bed, but and he quickly acts like he's back to sleep. And if that doesn't work, then he elbows her so that she'll wake up and hear what he hears and do something about what he won't do anything about. And the dad will say, well, I'm sure he's fine. But mom knows the difference between a fine cry and a cry that means I need to get in there. There's a whole lot of difference between hearing and listening. Ladies, when your husband's watching that UT football game, he hears a lot of stuff. He listens to almost nothing. That's good and bad. You can get him to agree to anything. Go in there and just wave it real quick while the while a big play is on. Honey, do you mind if I buy this? Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. The bad thing is you got the argument coming when it gets delivered from Amazon. There's a big difference between hearing and listening. But we see Abraham was listening, the Lord had said. Number two, I see not only that, we've got to trust the one that's sending. Look in verse number two. The Bible says, I will make of thee. Look at that again. I will make of thee, and I will make of thee. This is God speaking. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them. Verse number three. Number one, not only do we have to be listening, but number two, we've got to trust the one that's sending. Now, if you're going to load up from everything you know, you're going to leave Uncle Joe, Aunt Pete. You're going to leave everything that you've been accustomed to. You're going to leave your favorite stores and your favorite markets and your favorite everything. You're going to pack up, load up everything and move all the way to Beverly. You're going to move everything you've got to wherever you're heading. You're going to pack it all in and leave and go. You're going to leave out to the promise of the land that God's going to give you. You're going to make sure that you're going to leave every allegiance that you have. You're going to leave every family member that you have. You're going to leave all that stuff behind you. Maybe Lot will come with you, but you're going to leave everything else. You have got to be certain, if you're going to go out on a limb like that, you've got to be certain that you're going to trust the one who's sending. I would take a poll in here, but I know almost everybody would. Everybody in this room, you've either got an email or a call or some other correspondence that somehow you've got money coming through you. Coming to you, either through some sort of dealings that was in South Africa and you happen to be the one heir to somebody, all you have to do is send your account number and they'll make sure that they put all the money in there. Or maybe it's your, they found out on your insurance that you overpaid and all you have to do is put your routing number and they'll make sure they fund the money back into your bank account. Or how about this one? We know that you need a car warranty. All of us have heard scams. But if you're going to load up you and your wife and you literally load them up, and you're going to load them up, you've got to know that you can trust the person that's placing the order. And my friend, if you and I are going to be people who walk by faith, if we're going to be people who step out, if we're going to be people who launch out and do something in our family, with our marriage, with our children, in this church, with a ministry, if we're going to be the ones that stand strong and go do something for the Lord, then we're going to have to trust the one who's placing the order. If you're a business owner in here, you know because of a past experience that you can't accept an order without a down payment and some certain guarantees and some things to make sure that you can recoup the money that that person is saying they'll spend unless it's somebody that you know so well that when they order, they'll pay. And my friend, I don't know what God is ordering in your life. I don't know what He wants you and your wife to launch out and do. I do not know what He wants you to trust Him for. But I know that you can trust the one who's doing the sending. So not only did Abraham have ears to hear, but he also trusted the one who was sending. Centuries ago, in 1715, at the funeral for Louis XIV of France, this is the one that the monarch, this is the power that be that said, I am the state, the one that took great pride in his superiority. He was the one that said he was the sovereign ruler at his funeral in his gold-plated casket. So history says that there was one candle that illuminated the room just right above the casket, and everything else was fairly dark except for some light from the windows. And so it was immediately drew the attention to the casket of the monarch that was there to be honored. And everybody wondered what Massillon, he was the presbyter, he was the preacher, he was the reverend that was tasked to give the address that day. Everybody wondered what he would do and how he would lift up this monarch and put him almost in a godlike state. And they wondered what he would do because his job depended on that based on how much authority the state had. So history says that Massillon, the pastor, the preacher that was tasked to give the charge that day, as he walked to the place to preach from, he snuffed out and extinguished the flame of the candle that was up top of or behind the gold-plated casket. And he said these four words in his address, God only is great. Now, my friend, listen to me. If you've got the guarantee of a wonderful financial backer in some venture that you want to go in life, make sure that you are checking, double checking, and checking a third time to be sure that they really can deliver on what they say they can deliver on. But I'm not here to tell you how to run your business. But I am here to tell you this morning, if the Lord has put on your heart to take your family and let them be a picture of His goodness and trust the Lord for some of that $350,000 in faith promise, I can guarantee you that the Lord is the one that it's worthy of trusting. Maybe it's that you and your fiance, you're going to grab each other arm in arm and you're going to go on, even though the world says you've got over 50% chance of never making this, but you're going to say, I believe that God's in this thing, and we're going to marry and join hand in hand together, and we're going to honor God in our marriage. I'm telling you this morning, my friend, I don't know about the validity of other backers that you might have, and I don't know about the assurance of somebody who's going to bankroll your new endeavor, but I do know the surety, and I do know the assurance, and I do know the confidence that you can place in Almighty God. And when you get to a place where you realize that God's ordering something, what God orders, He pays for. We've got to trust the one that's sending. Number three, we've also got to be, here's where it gets heavy, we've also got to be willing to go. Look at verse number four. The Bible says, so Abram departed. There's a lot in that little phrase. Abram left all and everything that he knew. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. I don't believe there's any shortage of the Lord speaking to us anymore. I think if we'd get alone with the Lord and we'd listen, we'd have plenty of word from the Lord. Amen. I was praying with some of our bus workers this morning, and we need a host of new folks to join the ranks of our bus ministry. But the Lord says, pray ye therefore the Lord, or the Word of God says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. I believe that there's plenty of folks that the Lord has spoken to our hearts. We just have to be willing to go. I believe there's plenty of people to fill up this choir loft. We just have to dedicate enough time to it to go. I believe there's some folks that probably shouldn't be in our church, but instead they should be proclaiming the Word of God somewhere else. But we just have to be faithful to go. My friend, I'm telling us this morning that we must be willing to go. Verse number 4, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old. That kind of knocks out that I can't go because of age. I can't go because of difficulties. Abram left behind all that he knew and stepped out for the Lord. God wants each one of our families to be on a faith walk. You may not ever change your address, and if God doesn't want you to, then you certainly shouldn't. But whether you change your address or not, God wants you to be on a faith walk. Do you understand that God wants each one of us to have a great testimony of how God has been with us through every bit? If you own a business, then God wants you to tell some young business people, here's how you can be blessed. Here's how God blessed our business. If you have a marriage, then God wants you one of these days to look at a young couple and say, here's how you can get the blessings of God on your marriage. Here's how you can trust God. This is what God has done in my family. If you're raising children, you ought to be able to, one of these days when they're old and left the house and they're going to do what God wants them to do, you ought to be able to take some that are bringing a newborn home from the hospital and say, here's how God blessed our family. You ought to be able, as you pastor the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church for 46 years, as Preacher Lastly has done, and say, well, Brother Herdman, here's how God did all of these things over the years. My friend, I'm telling you that all of us ought to be on a faith walk, because there's a generation after us that needs to hear how God did it when you were up to bat. You want to know why I believe? There's certainly not, I don't understand all of it, how God coordinates it, but you want to know what I believe? I believe that many of the people right now in our church that are going through cancer and going through turmoil and giving through problems and health issues and all of these, one of the reason why I believe that they're allowed to go through that is so that after it's over, they can give a faithful testimony to somebody to say, God was with me every step of the way. To some of the widows that are sitting in this room right now, I believe the reason that God allowed you to go through what you've gone through is so that you're able in years to come to tell somebody else, God was with me every step of the way. For some of you who your spouse is not here today because he or she is at home and you're their primary caregiver and you just slipped out just for a little while somebody else was watching him or her, I believe that one of the reasons that God allowed you to go through that, you guessed the end of it, so that you can tell somebody that God was with you every step of the way. An elderly man was dying. He was a faithful man. And his mind was slipping, and he knew it. His pastor came to him and prayed with him, and he said, Pastor, for years I've claimed the promises of God, but his mind was slipping, as I said, and he knew it, and it frustrated him so. But he said, Pastor, right now I can't remember any promises of God. And the wise pastor that knew that the devil was just working on his mind and the health limitations that he had was just defeating him, he looked back at that ailing man who wasn't long for this earth anyways at the bed, and he asked him this. He said, my friend, do you think that God has forgotten any of those promises? And the answer from that dying man was a resounding no. He didn't even spend time trying to give him some of the promises at that point. He did later, but he just wanted to remind him, just because you can't remember them right now, God has not forgotten one of them. And to those of you who are going through difficulties right now, and you're watching the mental faculties of some of your loved ones slip away, and they used to be so strong, and they used to be so faithful, and they used to be such a bulwark and such a strong tower, or such a strengthening rod in your family, and now their faculties are slipping away. My friend, remember this, that those promises that they touted when their mind was sharp and their faith was strong, those promises are still true just as much today as they were when they were proclaiming them. My Lord would not leave you comfortless. The Bible says He'll come to you. I said this morning, these promises, in order to be this person of faith, we've got to be listening. And I want to challenge you, are you really listening for how God could use your marriage to be a testimony for Him? Or are you just bebopping along like everybody else in this world, just trying to hit the highlights? I challenge you to take your marriage and say, Lord, whatever you want to do through it, we want to be a testimony of your grace. Your family, are you trying to provide food, clothing, and shelter? Well, so is every unsaved parent out there. Or are you trying to train them as arrows in the hands of a faithful man and send them out, launch them out for the glory of God? I'm telling you, if we're going to listen, if we're going to be like Abraham and depart when God says to depart, number one, we're going to have to listen. Number two, we're going to have to trust the one that's sending. And then number three, eventually, it's going to get down to it, we're going to have to take off. And again, if that means that your family is supposed to go off in missionary service, then so be it. But it also could be that you don't change your residence. You just take off on this faith walk. I want to, when I get to the end, I'm hoping I live until the rapture, but regardless of how God sees fit to do it, I want to at the end. I love for people to be able to say, I could see Jesus Christ working in his life. If that happens, I'll have to listen to what Jesus Christ says. I'll have to trust Him enough to put on my backpack and go for a faith walk. I don't know what you're going through today, but I believe that we ought to be those people who listen, trust Him, and take off for His glory. As the song said, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. If He's with me, I can go anywhere. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray, my dear Lord, that we right here in this room, we would listen to Thy voice. Lord, I believe there's supposed to be, maybe there are some folks that need to leave and go to a foreign country or go to a struggling church somewhere and help them. I get that. But Lord, the most of us are supposed to be right here where we're at. But we're supposed to be laboring, serving, not taking it easy. We're supposed to be living a dedicated life for you. Some of us are supposed to be up on those buses. Some of us are supposed to be down the youth department helping Brother Kyle reach teenagers in this area before it's eternally too late. Some of us are supposed to do this, that, or the other, dear Lord. But before, if we're ever going to do it, we've got to be listening. And then when we listen, dear Lord, we've got to trust you that you'll be faithful to do what you say. And then, dear Lord, we have to pull out of the station and go forward for you. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help my friends in this room be faithful to do what you lead them to do. Now, folks, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If the Lord has moved upon your heart, don't take it as a light thing. If the good Lord above has seen fit and taking the time, so to speak, in our vernacular, to come and minister to you and meet with you and comfort you and guide you and nudge you. Don't take that for granted. Let's act upon it. And if you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, but you hear something in the innermost part of your emotions telling you that you ought to do something about your soul, that you need to get Jesus in your life, you need to be saved, don't turn a deaf ear to that. Today is the day of salvation. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us. I pray you'd help us to be faithful. Abram departed as the Lord had spoken. Lord, may we be faithful like he was, and we'll thank you for it all. Would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and the Lord has done something in your life. You already know what you're supposed to be doing. You already know. You have your marching orders. You've just been wallowing around for a while. I challenge you, my friend, to realize you can trust the good Lord who sent the order. You say, I don't know how I'm going to do that. I don't know how I'm going to help in that area. I don't know how I'm going to make my family a blessing and an encouragement and a testimony of God's grace. I just know that if the Lord is moving upon your heart, he pays for what he orders. You may be against all odds of this old world, but you and God make a majority, and you can see him do great things. If you're here today and you're not saved, would you step out and come? I'm watching. I'll meet whoever right down here at the front. You're not sure you're saved. Would you step out? Let me or someone take a Bible and show you how to be sure heaven's your home. Maybe you're saved, but you've never been baptized since you got saved. But you'd like to be. You'd like to follow Christ in believer's baptism. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and we're supposed to follow him in that. It's being like Jesus. Maybe you've never been baptized, but you'd like to be. We'll do it in a service real soon. Maybe you'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Maybe that's that step of faith God told you already. You just need to go ahead and dive in. Would you come present yourself for that? We'll set up a meeting with you and answer any and all questions that you have and get you plugged in. As they play through just a little bit more, if God's speaking to your heart, would you come? This way. What a joy to be back in church this morning. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to ask Brother Marty to come and dismiss us in prayer. If you're wanting to help with our harvest party, Brother Bobby Brown, one of the deacons, will be out in the lobby, and that's coming up on September the 23rd. And that's not right. That was 3 days ago, wasn't it? It must be on October 23rd. So you can trust your pastor, that's for sure. Yeah, you just trust him right to the wrong date. Whenever it is, Bobby will be out there. It's going to be a great time for all the young people of our church, of our area. We want to get some folks, some young families introduced to this church. And I want you to help us with that. Bobby will be out in the lobby, and he's got a sign-up sheet if you can help us with that. And then one last announcement. I hate to always do announcements, but it slipped up on us. We were so intent on that revival. I was so excited about that. I kept forgetting to announce this. A week from today, Brother R.B. Ouellette will come preach for us. He's been here before, and I'm looking forward to having him come this year. And we're excited about him being with us a week from today. He's a powerful preacher. I know that you're going to enjoy him. He'll be with us Sunday morning and Sunday night. We're so thankful for that. Brother Marty, would you come and dismiss us in prayer this morning?
Pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this message. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to apply it to our lives, that our faith walk with you will be better, that we'll seek you and live for you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll just bless us the rest of the day, bring us back at our appointed time tonight. Thank you again for who you are and for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.